Abundant Life Foursquare Church presents to you a message of hope, grace, and power of Jesus. We trust that you will be inspired by the Word of God as we grow together in Christ.
It's an honor to be with you here this morning. And just, I was thinking about our time together today and was thinking about, you know, some of these answers to prayer and some of the things that are going on. And, you know, just really excited to be here and to share with you this morning. And we're going to continue as we talk about engage in the stewardship of your talents. And I would hope that you would really begin to connect with the heart of stewardship. See, we're staying with the overall passage there, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because what I want us to really focus on today, what I believe the Lord really wants to speak to us today is about our heart, about what's going on inside of us moment to moment. What's going on? What motivates us? What causes us to do the things that we do? See, God wants us to understand the heart issues of stewardship. He wants us to begin to recognize and to understand that stewardship is really about investing. It's about using our talents and our skills and our abilities for the good and the benefit of others. He wants us to understand it's for the good and the benefit of the church. And yes, it is appropriate at times for the benefit of ourselves. God wants us to look at the idea that the way that we live our life, the things that we do, reveal our heart. I heard it said, and I was told it was actually St. Augustine that made this quote one day, was this idea that you need to take the love of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and share it with everyone all the time. And when necessary, use words. See, it's really about your heart. What's going on? What are you doing? What motivates the things that you do? When people see you, they see your heart by your words, by your actions, by your attitudes, by the things that aren't things that you control. We can put on a face for a while, but that facade will come down. And so our heart is really that thing that's going to reveal who we are. And God's calling us to understand that the heart issue of stewardship is about investing and using it for the benefit of others, whatever that is. I want us to look at stewardship in action. John chapter 15, verse 12 through 13 says this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. But I want us to begin to understand that concept, to think about that, that no greater love is this than someone lays down his life for his friends. It goes on, and Paul teaches in Galatians chapter 5. He says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. I want to just take a pause right there, because it's so easy to read past that and kind of read through that passage. But when he says, through love, serve one another, there's an implication that there are places of service that need to be filled. He's asking us, will you look around? Will you look around at the people closest to you, your neighbors, your friends, your family, your place of work, your school? Will you ask yourself, what needs are right in front of me? What are the places that someone needs my help, needs the talents and the skills that I have? Where are those places of service that are right there in front of me? And he wants us to see and to understand. This is the heart. He says, through love, serve one another. See what's there. It's right in front of you. He says, for all the law is fulfilled in this one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And when we look at that, hopefully you'll see the great commandment. It's written differently, but it's the same heart. Because God says, What is the first and great commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Right? Examine your heart. What's going on? And then love others as much as you love yourself. So he's calling us and he's challenging us to take a look at ourselves. It goes on in 1 Peter chapter 4. And in 1 Peter 4, it says this, above all things, have fervent love for one another, passionate, intentional, purposeful love for one another. See, these passages, they began to help us to see what is going on in the heart. What is it that's motivating us? He's challenging us to look deep inside and to ask ourselves the questions, what moves me? What compels me? What causes me to tear up? What motivates me to action? See, he wants us to begin to examine ourselves and see that everything is about what goes on in the heart of man. Not the cardiac muscle, but the heart, the spirit, the soul. He says, as a matter of fact, love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And that concept of hospitable is, don't be a grouch in doing something good. Don't be put upon and it's like, okay, I have to do this. It's a requirement. You know, I don't have a choice. I have to do this. And since I'm being told it, it's like telling a kid they have to clean their room. You know, all right, I'll do it. I don't have to like it, but I'll do it. You know, God looks at the heart attitude and he's saying, look, people, what's going on inside? Be hospitable without grumbling. Look at the opportunities to serve. He says, as a matter of fact, as each one of you has received a gift, minister it. Minister it. Use it. See, God's saying, I gave you these things, gifts and talents and skills and abilities. I gave you these things for the benefit of others. I gave you these things so that you could pour them out. I gave you these things so that they could be used to further my kingdom. Matter of fact, it says, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Can we embrace the understanding of the manifold grace of God? See, Jesus is our great example. And, you know, yesterday the men, we talked about Jesus as a man of God, and we talked about him as an example of things that we can do to follow his examples. And Jesus became perfectly man. He was perfectly God. Every characteristic that made him God was there. Every characteristic that made him human was there. Why did he do that? He did that for us. He said, I see a need. I see a need in my creation. I see the need for redemption. I see a need to make a way back. I see a need to be able to restore that relationship. And I'm going to go in service, taking everything of myself, taking on the limitations of a human being, taking on that struggle so that I can make a way back. He stewarded all of it, what it meant to be God and all of what it meant to be man, so that he could bring us back into right relationship with himself. That's what it means to be stewards in the manifold grace of God. That's a little bit about what we're talking about. Are you willing to embrace those in our community that may come in that don't know Jesus, to put up with things and crazy language and things that we may not understand and we're not used to, so that they can be loved into the body of Christ and continue to grow? It all comes together. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. Clearly, he's making reference, says, use your talents. I've given you these talents skills and abilities. I've put those things in you. Use them with the ability that I've given, the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever. Do we recognize that as we act, we either bring glory to God or we wreck His reputation? One or the other. There's no in between. Now, I'm not talking about being perfect, but I am talking about embracing the reality that the way we live our lives, when we say that we're a believer in Jesus Christ and we take on the name of God, the way we live our lives makes a difference. When we live well, when we pursue God, when we invest into others, the glory of God shines. When we're selfish and self-serving, when we look just like the world, the reputation of God is diminished. And he's saying that we need to consciously make the decision that in all things that we do, God can be glorified. That should remind you back of Colossians 3:17, where we started. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Recognize it's all connected. Like the gifts of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4, the talents that we have developed over the course of our lives are to be used to benefit others. Now, I do want to be clear. The talents that we have developed and the things that are in us and the gifts of the Spirit are not the same thing. But the principle of the way they are to be used is the same. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, "And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints to the work of ministry." See, he's given us those skills and abilities. Why? Because you are the gospel going out into this community. He says that he's given us those talents, skills, and abilities so that we can be equipped to do the job, so that we can reach out in loving acts and good works, and that we can reach out with changed hearts and different attitudes, that we have been equipped to do the ministry that he's calling us to do. In the ministry of loving and caring and drawing others to Jesus and meeting needs and being life. I hope that you would see that that reflects who we are as Abundant Life, that we're about evangelizing and carrying the love and the gospel of Jesus to our community. At the same time, we're about equipping and building up and strengthening the body of Christ. We need to do both of those things together. And it goes on and it talks about that as we grow up into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth. Christ is the head, but we're the body. And He wants us to understand that imagery, that concept, that every single one of us has talents and skills and abilities. And when we invest those into the kingdom, when we invest those into others, the body of Christ is strengthened. The body functions stronger, more effectively. We're healthier. When we do not use those things, the body becomes weak. It's as having a disease that drains our energy and drains our effectiveness and makes us less of an impact in the world around us. When we use those things the way He meant, the body of Christ grows, and we grow by others coming in, seeing Jesus and receiving His love and receiving His grace and receiving that new life. When we don't live that way, we look just like the world, and people are like, "Why do I want to come and do that?" Because you look just like me. And I'm hopeless and hurting, looking for a place for help. And you don't look any healthier than I look. So I'm going to keep looking. See, it's practical when we begin to understand that He's given us this imagery so that we can connect on an intellectual level. Yes, I can recognize the word pictures, but also on a practical level that this is how life works. Our biblical worldview of stewardship is this idea of utilizing and managing all of our resources, our talents that we're talking about today, that God has provided for the glory of God and the betterment of His kingdom. Again, we reflect God, good or bad, and that's the way that it works. And today we want to examine the stewardship of talents. And there are many great examples in Scripture about talents and how they're used. A few of these talents, and we're going to look at several of them, we see the word talk about artisans, about craftsmen, about musicians and tent makers and weavers and leaders. We see a lot of different talents being used. I want you to look at Exodus chapter 28 as we begin to look at the way that God used some of these talented individuals. Exodus 28 says, "Now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest." I want you to see that God is saying, I want Aaron and his sons. They have a very specific job that I want them to accomplish right now. They are going to be a priest standing before me. They are going to represent the people as they stand before me, and I am going to be represented to the people through them. So I want you to set Aaron and his sons apart for that. And then it goes on and it says, "And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty." See, because Aaron is going to be representative of the people before me, I want him to be set apart, to be consecrated. I want him to be clean. I want him to come specifically ready and prepared to deal with me. Now, I don't have time to develop all of that, but there was a very specific way to put on the clothing. There was a very specific way to be prepared to put on the clothing. There were specific rules. And all of that wasn't so that God could be a cosmic killjoy. It's because He was using these things to teach His people at that time. How do you approach a holy God? You approach Him on purpose. You approach Him with clarity of thought. You give some thought and intent to what's going on. And as He was doing this, He says, "And I want you to speak to all the gifted artisans who I have filled with wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest." So He's saying, I have this specific job for Aaron and for his sons, and I want to teach my people about the significance of entering into the presence of God. And He said, but He can't do everything. There are these other people with these talents, skills, and abilities, and I want you to use their talents, skills, and abilities to create this clothing. And it's not about we have to have some specific clothing. This was a teaching moment for them. But I want you to use these artisans to create this clothing that's going to help them to understand that Aaron is representing them before me, and that they would understand that he's representing me before them, and that there's a very specific reason of what's taken place. It goes on, and in Exodus 31, as he's continuing to teach his people about worship and the establishment of worship, Exodus 31, it says, "And I have put wisdom into the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat, and all that is on it, and the furniture of the tabernacle." And if you continue to read, there's a whole list of things that he lays out in order to create this place of worship where they can begin to come out of their day-to-day life. They can begin to come out of the distractions and enter into a holy place set aside for the worship of God. He's working hard to teach them about coming out, using our hearts, out of the distractions of the world and setting our hearts specifically on Him to come into a place of worship. He's using some visual word pictures now, and he's using a living word picture to help them to begin to connect with these principles and what's going on. It says in Exodus 35 that all the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun, blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts were stirred with wisdom. See, God said, I've gifted everyone. I've given everyone something to invest. Every single person that's breathing air, I've gifted. Everyone that's called by my name, I've gifted. And I've given talents and skills and abilities to use for the betterment of others in the kingdom. Amen? So what we see here are many different talents being used: tailoring, weaving, metalwork, woodwork, design work, sculpting. We see a lot of different things taking place. But I want you to also begin to look at other things that God is pulling together, because He's created us with different talents, skills, and abilities. 1 Chronicles 25 says this: Moreover, David and the captains of the army separated for the service some of the sons of Asaph, who should prophesy with harps, stringed instruments, and cymbals. He says, I want you to set apart these people that have been given the talent, skills, and ability to be able to communicate truth through music. Now, we enjoy musical worship this morning, amen? And there is something powerful about what can take place when we're singing. It helps us to focus, to set aside the things of the world for a few minutes. It helps us to connect emotionally. And he's saying, look, I want you to set aside those who can prophesy, communicate truth with musical instruments. It goes on in verse 6, it says, and all these were under the direction of their father, for the music in the house of the Lord with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps, for the service of the house of God. Do we see how they were using their musical gifts for the ministry that God wanted to see take part? They weren't doing all the ministry. They were a part of setting the stage. They were a part of making that ministry more effective. So we had those that built the house, those that built, that created the garments, those that are singing and bringing the musical worship. And then we see that there are still other things going on. Ezra 7 reveals another one of the talents that God has given. Ezra came up from Babylon and he was a skilled scribe in the law. He had the ability to research, the ability to dig into the scriptures, the ability to make connections. And he had this ability. And then it says that not only was he a skilled scribe, that he prepared his heart to seek. He made God first. And it says that in verse 10, it says he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. That was his deep desire, was to pursue and to understand and to be able to explain. It says that not only did he seek the law, but he did the law, he lived it, and he taught the law. He was a teacher. And so we see another talent that God is using for expanding his kingdom and impacting others. So our talents are to be invested into others. We are to steward our talents that we have been entrusted with and to invest them faithfully. We talked a little bit last week about the parable of the talents. And one was given five, and one was given two. But each one was given talents, and what were they asked to do with them? To invest them. The outcome was not their responsibility. They were asked to invest them wisely, and to work with them, and to allow them to be put to use. And That's what God's doing when he gives us talents, skills, and abilities. He's entrusting them to us to invest them faithfully. And practically, what does that look like? There are examples all around us. And practically, this is how we can lay down our lives for our friends and others. Remember John 15, we talked about it a few minutes ago. Jesus commands us to love one another the way that he loves us and to lay down our lives for our friends. And how do we lay down our lives? One of the greatest ways that we lay down our lives is that we allow ourselves to be inconvenienced for the benefit of others. Amen? But I want us to look at some of the examples around us. See, we have teachers. We have the Olympic Bible Institute, and we have Dr. Larry, and we have Rachel, and we have Debbie Bowe, and we have others that are teaching in the Olympic Bible Institute. And we do that so that the body of Christ as a whole and the people in our community around us have a place where they can come and they can be taught the Word of God, go deeper into things than we can go in just the 40 minutes or so that we have on a Sunday morning, that they can be taught and that those things can be, the principles and the concepts and the truths can be put to greater work in the body. We have people that teach cleansing streams, and there's a lot of people that have things in their life that are bogging them down, anchoring them to the past. Cleansing streams is a way of being able to let that past go and to come into alignment with God. Let him bring healing. The book of James, that's another way that we see that we have teachers that are investing. But there's other things. We teach financially free. Do you know that every single week we have people that teach our children, that take that opportunity to go and to teach our children about the love of God? People that invest in our teens, in our teenage, our youth, and they begin to expound the Word of God and to bring truth. And man, they have a hard job right now because you have the truth of God and you have science, and they have to really work to help them to navigate both of those things together. And I don't have time to go into it today, but those are not in conflict. Someday, all of science will catch up with the Word of God, but when you look deeply into the Word of God and you look deeply into science, you will find that almost all the time, they come back together. But our youth need a teacher to show them how that works, how things line up, how God is revealed in this world. Amen? Teachers teach practical things. I was talking with some young adults recently, and I was told, you know, I never had a dad that showed me how to work on a car. I never had a parent that showed me how to cook. I never had someone in my life that taught me how to budget or do some of these things. And all of those things are someone that comes along with a gift to be able to teach others, to invest in the kingdom of God, to invest in others. We have artists among us. Carly is one of our artists. And if you go to the second floor and you go into our kids zone, you will see murals on the wall. And those murals have been painted. And why did she do that? I mean, we could paint the walls, right? I can go in and I can slap paint on the wall. But she created these murals so that they represent different biblical truths and they're engaging and they give a picture so that our children walk in and they're excited and they're engaged and they want to be there, and it opens their mind to be able to hear something different. And it allows us to set a tone and allows us to set, you know, an environment and an atmosphere. If you've walked into the cafe and you see up on the wall, there's this board that says coffee. And if Jacqueline doesn't, you know, keep a good eye on that, I'm going to borrow it sometime. I was going to say steal it, but that wouldn't be right. You know, so I won't steal. I'll just borrow it for a while. An incredible talent that just kind of says, you're welcome here. Welcome to our home. Welcome to Abundant Life. Have a cup of coffee with us. Lois, who is Pastor Steve's wife, is our graphic artist, and she uses her artistic ability to create graphics and art and other things so that in a very visual world, that we have a way to connect and to catch people's interest so that we have the opportunity to introduce them to Jesus. Amen? You know, so that is a gift. That is a skill and a talent. You know, so we have teaching, we have art. You're literally sitting in one of the best examples. You know, carpenters and plumbers and tradesmen like John Walker and David DeRoss and John Bishop and Kevin Whitney and others. Basically, this entire sanctuary was built by volunteers. Everything in this platform, everything that was created was built by volunteers. The sound booth and everything that's created was built by volunteers. These poles were wrapped by volunteers. Almost everything that has been done around this building in these different rooms was done by volunteers. They invested their talents and their skills and abilities to do something for the body so that we could have a service, so that we could move forward, so that we could share Jesus, so distractions would be minimized, all those different things. They also saved us thousands upon thousands of dollars that we were able to turn back around and reinvest back into ministry, into outreach, into benevolence, and to do other things. They invested so that we all as the body could continue to invest forward. Amen? We talked about the musicians and, you know, Bruce and Peggy and Lisa and Lisa. And it's good to see. I thought we got our little law firm going on over here. And Devin and Dylan, who are leading worship today, and Howard and Daniel. They all invested of their time and their talent so that we could come into this place today and that we could, for a moment, set aside the distractions of this world and enter in. That we could connect emotionally with the Word of God. That we could connect emotionally with each other. And I think of Daniel playing the drums back there, that in his life, in his day-to-day life outside, a chemical dependency counselor, and what does he do? He also runs Celebrate Recovery. See, this is something that I do want you to get, is whatever you do in your day-to-day life can be used for the kingdom of God. You know, too many times I've heard, well, you know, I teach during the day. I don't want to do that, you know, on the weekends. Or, you know, I do these different things. That misses the heart. Can I tell you what's really fabulous? When you go to work and you get trained and you get experience and you develop those talents, skills, and abilities, the heart of a steward's going, thank you, God, for letting me get paid for doing this and developing my talents and my skills and abilities to go back and invest into the kingdom of God so the kingdom of God can be furthered, so that people can be helped, so the church can be supported, so that we can do all of those things. That's the heart of stewardship. When we began to look at investing the heart of a teacher, the heart of an artist, the heart of a carpenter and a plumber and a tradesman, a musician, a chemical dependency counselor, and on it goes. When we invest those things back into the kingdom, you know, we have this that represents, you know, our chefs. And I think of Brent and Jason and Pat and some of the others. Yes, they do great things. Like they cooked for our men's breakfast yesterday, and it was great food. We had a great time together yesterday. But they also have used that talent and skill and ability to go cook for the boys and girls clubs. They've used that to go out and to minister to others that were hungry and thirsty and needy. And so they took that outside of the doors to be able to be used. That is the heart of stewardship. This pulpit was built by Ben Mulliman. You know, the table back there, and he put time and effort into this. And, you know, Pastor Steve's a little taller than I am, so I have to, you know, kind of stand on my toes to look over it. But what a blessing to be able to have something that will just hold the simple things so that I don't have to try to juggle them myself. And that represents love and care and concern for the body of Christ. Do you remember the sleigh? That was Ben. That was him investing his time in some of the backdrops that we've had up here. You know, they're not just so that you don't get bored. Each of the backdrops is kind of designed thematically to go along with some of the things that we're trying to teach for a different season so that we can visually connect and we can audibly connect, and it helps us to communicate better. See, they're all investing their talents and their skills and their abilities. I want us to really think about those things. See, there are all kinds of talents, and the list really is endless. There's the talent of hospitality. Just being nice to folk. Just welcoming. A talent that can facilitate groups. Just open your home and use materials that you're given and just allow people to sit down and talk and to just kind of go through and to take the word deeper so that they can make application. Because in here, it's hard to raise your hand. I mean, occasionally we'll ask questions, but it's hard to raise your hand, ask a question, get an answer. But in a small group, you can. And you take the Word of God and you make personal application. The gifts of administration. There are those of us that are creative and there are those of us that administrate. And usually God gives one of us that is creative somebody that administrates so we can be effective at what we're doing. God gifted me with a great administrator, trust me. But here's the deal. God gifted me with someone that helps me to be successful. And I think that God uses me to benefit others, to benefit my wife in that sense. And that's obvious I'm talking about Pam. But the idea of I help her to enjoy life in a different way that she might not because of the differences in who we are. But this is throughout the church. There are administrators and there are those that are creative. Do you know that working with information is a gift? Information and technology, I was thinking about that. That is so unique to the era that we live in right now. I can turn on my computer. I can even check my email. That's about the extent of it. I am so glad when I delete it, someone can get it back. That when I lose it, they find it. You know, when I break it, they come along behind me and they say, don't push that button again. Do this. You know, we laugh, but it's reality. You know, I'm so glad that there are people around us that have those talents and skills and are willing to invest them. Social media is powerful, and there are those around us that have learned to use social media in a positive way that can communicate the love of Jesus, that can communicate love and care and concern, that can give invitation for people to come and to join us, and just so many different things. That is a talent and an ability. Videography, the gift of gab, you know? Just being friendly and being able to sit and have a conversation with somebody can be an incredible gift. When someone's lonely or hurting, or maybe they're new and they just don't know anybody, the gift of gab is a wonderful gift. Amen? See, this is what he was saying in John 15 when he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I've given everything of myself. Everything that made me God, I brought onto this planet. And everything that makes me human, I bring into my existence so that I can understand your struggles, understand who you are, and I can make the way back. I want you to love others as I have loved you and to lay down your life for other people." That is the heart of stewardship. When we steward our talents and honor God, we invest them into other individuals. We invest them into the body of Christ, and we invest them into the kingdom of God. I want you to leave with this thought this morning. The heart of stewardship is to take something that is uniquely yours and invest it into the lives of others. The heart of stewardship is to take something that's uniquely yours and invest it into the church. And the heart of stewardship is to take something that's uniquely yours and invest it into the kingdom of God. Father God wants us to value and to appreciate our talents. He wants us to enjoy our talents. He knows who we are. He knows what makes us tick. He understands at an emotional level who we are. And He's gifted us with spiritual gifts, but He's also gifted us with talents. And He knows that when we use those things in the right way, it will give us the greatest joy and satisfaction. And He wants us to continue to develop them. And He wants us to discover them. I discovered talents and things when I was in my 30s that I didn't know I had when I was in my teens. And I'll be 60 soon, and I'm fully expecting to find other talents, skills, and abilities that I don't know that I have now. Why? Because God's a good God. God loves me. God loves you. And He's constantly giving us things to enrich our lives. And the more that we use those things for the benefit of others, just like the 5 talents that were invested and brought back 5 more, the 2 talents that were invested and brought, the more we invest our talents, skills, and abilities, the more God will reveal and release into us. Amen? So He wants us to use them and invest them and steward them wisely. If you're feeling stuck or unsure about what talent, skills, and abilities you may have, I want to encourage you to take the course that we offer, Exploring Church Life, because there's a part of that that we go in and we look at spiritual gifts, we look at our heart, you know, the kind of things that make us tick and we just love to do. We look at our abilities or our talents. We look at our personality. You know, I'm one of those people that can talk the wallpaper off the wall. And my wife is one of those people, if I asked her to stand in front, she would probably hurt me. We have different personalities. Isn't that okay? Absolutely. And we have different experiences. See, we have something to help us to learn all those kinds of things. You can talk to a pastor. You can talk to someone serving in an area that you're interested in. But talk to someone. Have you ever been in that place where you're sharing something and you thought it was like this brand new revelation, and somebody looked at you and says, man, I saw that in you a long time ago. I knew that about you. You didn't know that about yourself? You should have asked me. I could have told you that. I could have told you that, yeah, you're really engaging. You tell funny stories. I'd love to hear you teach. Or I'd love to hear you share something. Or you didn't know you were a great cook? Why do you think I keep coming to your house? Feed me. You know? People see things in us that we may not see in ourselves. Talk to someone. So the question is not, do I have talents that can be used? That's not the question. The question is, how will I steward or use the talents that I have? How will I use the things that God has given me? The talents, the skills, the abilities, the gifts. How will I use those things and steward them for the benefit of others, for the benefit of the church and the kingdom of God, and appropriately for the benefit of ourselves over time? Amen? Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.aofc.us or download our app. We hope that you will join us every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m.